Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 178 at 24,834. S&P 500 down 8 at 2,724. NASDAQ Composite down 15 at 7,378. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps down 12 at 1,625. Yield on the 10-year Treasury unchanged at 3.07%. Oil down 15 cents at $72.09 per barrel. Gold down $1.60 at $12.91.60 per ounce. Well, stocks gave back most of yesterday's gains. Yesterday, the trade war with China was put on hold. Today, not exactly. Trump questioned a potential trade agreement with China that his administration announced days earlier, indicating he isn't satisfied with the deal, whatever the deal might be. And by the way, he still wants a ban on Chinese telecom company ZTE, which is facing stiff penalties for violating sanctions against North Korea and Iran. Meanwhile, the proposed June summit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un may not happen, according to Trump. Tomorrow, we will look at the minutes from the Federal Reserve's FOMC policy meeting in May. They did not hike rates, but the minutes might help to plot whether the Fed is hawkish or dovish, the difference being two or possibly three more rate hikes for the remainder of the year. Oil prices took a split path today, with the global benchmark Brent crude scoring a fresh 3.5-year high, while the U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate edged lower, with traders weighing the potential influence of developments tied to Iran and Venezuela against the prospects for domestic crude production. The West Texas Intermediate contract, which expired at the day's settlement, ended at $72.24 a barrel on Monday to mark the highest finish for a front-month contract since November of 2014. Global benchmark July Brent crude, however, climbed 35 cents to $79.57 a barrel on the ICE Futures Europe for another finish at the highest for a front-month contract since November 2014. It traded as high as $80.49 per barrel. On Monday, Trump issued an executive order prohibiting certain additional transactions with respect to Venezuela. In part, it bans the U.S. purchase of any debt owed to the government of Venezuela. Venezuela ordered the expulsion of two top U.S. diplomats in Caracas in retaliation for a new round of sanctions over their widely condemned election. Sanctions on Venezuela's oil industry could intensify worries about a drop in global supply. OPEC said it expects to increase output in June to compensate for shortages from Iran. Now, West Texas Intermediate crude has risen over 50% since August. The Spider S&P Oil and Gas Exploration and Production Index is up 48%, compared with 13% for the S&P 500, including dividends. According to AAA, gas prices across the country are the highest they've been since Memorial Day weekend 4 years ago. The average price of regular-grade gas in the U.S. jumped 10 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks to $3. And if it seems like prices are going up, well, they are. Dozens of companies in recent weeks have said they already hiked prices or plan to in the coming months to combat inflation. Deere said it would raise prices for its equipment because of higher material and freight cost. McDonald's and Chipotle have raised burger and burrito prices. Amazon is increasing Prime memberships by 20%. Netflix made monthly subscription prices 10% higher late last year. Tyson Food planning to make ballpark hot dogs more expensive. Stanley Black & Decker will hike the prices of their industrial tools. American Airlines considering raising airfares to cover higher fuel costs, maybe in the next month. Steel and aluminum prices also going up. That's a concern for consumers. Campbell Soup said that it expected double-digit increases in the two. Freight costs are climbing. There aren't enough truck drivers right now to haul all the products manufacturers are churning out around the country. And that has sent shipping costs soaring. Despite the rising prices, households are feeling more stable, and small businesses are making money, and many expect to expand and hire in the coming year. Among more than 8,000 small businesses and more than 12,000 households covered in separate surveys late last year by the Federal Reserve and its 12 regional banks, the message was similar. Economic conditions have been getting better, and the expectation is for the good times to continue. Among households, 74% of U.S. adults said they were financially comfortable or at least okay in 2017. That's 4 percentage points higher than in 2016, 10 percentage points higher than the first survey year of 2013. The survey of small businesses shows improved business confidence and improved business performance, with profitability and access to finance increasing in 2017. More than 70% of firms expecting revenue growth next year, and 48% expecting to add employees. The House of Representatives is expected to pass legislation later today that would roll back some rules on community banks and regional lenders designed to prevent another financial crisis. Although bankers have complained of excess regulation, a new FDIC study shows that the industry is hardly drowning in regulation. The Dodd-Frank reform law was signed into law in July 2010, and since then, bank profits have increased by 135% as the economy climbed out of the Great Recession. Both Morgan Stanley and Bank of America logged record quarterly earnings, while a critical measure of profitability at Goldman Sachs hit a five-year high. And J.P. Morgan Chase, the largest American bank, made $8.7 billion in profit last quarter. That was the largest quarterly profit by any U.S. bank ever. The FDIC said that 70% of the nation's 5,606 banks grew their bottom line during the last quarter. Corporate tax cuts boosted bank profits by about $6.7 billion in the first quarter. However, banks would have still made a record $49.4 billion even without the tax cuts. At the urging of regulators, American banks have also built up quite the rainy day fund. The industry is sitting on nearly $2 trillion of capital that could help weather the next storm. And you might think that with all that money, banks would be eager to lend. Not exactly. Loan growth has remained anemic. Despite the strength of the U.S. economy and healthy bank balance sheets, the FDIC said that commercial and industrial loans increased by 1.9% last quarter, while non-farm, non-residential loans ticked up by just 0.8%, and mortgage lending inched up just 0.4%. The percentage of money-losing banks dropped to just 3.9%. The FDIC's list of problem banks fell to just 92. That's the lowest level since the first quarter of 2008. Community banks, which many say were unfairly snagged by Dodd-Frank, look healthy. The FDIC said that the nation's 5,168 community banks grew their bottom lines by 18% during the first quarter, to $6.1 billion. The agency noted that community lenders grew loans faster than the overall economy. So the plan is to roll back regulation because it works. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg was questioned today by political leaders and lawmakers at the European Parliament in Brussels. The testimony went on for about 80 minutes. His replies left the lawmakers mostly frustrated. They used the last few minutes of the meeting to complain and accused him of giving general answers. The setup of the meeting was largely to blame. The lawmakers were given 3 minutes each to ask their questions one after another. Zuckerberg was allotted time at the end to answer them. And as time ran out, Zuckerberg promised Facebook will respond to each of the lawmakers' questions in writing over the next few days. The group asked Zuckerberg about fake news and extremist content, accused him of censorship, suggested Facebook should be broken up into separate companies to increase competition. Zuckerberg apologized for how Facebook handled issues related to fake news, foreign interference in elections, and the personal information of its users at the start of the meeting. Multiple members of the European Parliament pressed Zuckerberg on whether Facebook is a monopoly, with one asking whether the CEO could convince him that the company does not need to be broken up. The lawmakers also raised the issue of extremist content on Facebook, pressing Zuckerberg on the need to remove hate speech faster. As was the case when he appeared before Congress, Zuckerberg largely avoided answering questions about Facebook's data collection practices, including the data it gathers from non-users. JCPenney's stock price fell as much as 8% this morning following news that CEO Marvin Ellison would leave the company to lead the home improvement retailer Lowe's. Ellison, who became the CEO of JCPenney in 2015 after a 12-year stint at Home Depot, was tasked with bringing the department store back from the brink of financial disaster. Ellison's immediate predecessor, Ron Johnson, tried to make the store more upmarket but alienated customers in the process, leading to $1.4 billion operating loss in 2013 and nearly $5 billion of debt. With Ellison at the helm, JCPenney has undergone a turnaround and sales have stabilized. Global mergers and acquisitions have already reached $2 trillion in 2018. That's a record for the value of deals in the period. The last two periods when M&A reached similar levels, back in 2007, when it reached $1.8 trillion, and before that, back in 2000, just before the bursting of the dot-com bubble. SpaceX launched a batch of satellites into space today, including two twin satellites for NASA that will observe how water moves around our planet. Those twin satellites, about the size of small cars, will map changes in Earth's water and ice, such as rising sea levels and melting of the polar ice caps. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 178 to finish the session at 24,834. S&P 500 down 8 at 2,724. And the NASDAQ down 15 at 7,378. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com.